The title of this message is The Church, Divine Destiny or Chance. This message is based on Acts chapter 21, verses 20 to the end of the chapter, and chapter 22, verses 1 through 29. Listening time is approximately 33 minutes. The title of our message is The Church, Divine Destiny or Chance. We left off last week where Paul was returning to Jerusalem to give his third report to the church where James is the pastor, the half-brother of Jesus Christ that God used to author the book of James is the pastor of that church. And that's the church that sent Paul out and Barnabas way, way back here in Acts. And then Paul has been working with other missionaries throughout Asia and present-day Greece, Macedonia, Athens, Berea, Corinth, and so on. What does he do as far as giving this report? Paul's message was that the people that he was preaching to had become zealous for the law of Moses. They believed in Jesus, but they were also very serious about the laws of Moses. Now, as we have heard in other messages, most people think that the law of Moses or the laws of Moses are the Ten Commandments. Well, the laws of Moses go far beyond the Ten Commandments. We have the sacrificial laws, the dietary laws, social laws, about 613 of those. So he's not speaking about all the sacrificial laws, but he's speaking about their customs and the Ten Commandments as well, but particularly their customs, that they're still Jewish, even though they've become believers in Jesus Christ. And that may be difficult for us to understand how all that works together. But what does it say in the New Testament? When people come into Christ, there's neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, and Greek you can just say is Gentile, male or female. When you ladies become Christians, you don't cease to be a woman, or you men becoming Christians don't cease to be a man. In other words, there's no neutrality here. It's not like we become one gender. So what is God really saying? Is that the unity is in Christ, and then there can be diversity as long as it is not against the principles that Jesus Christ had taught. In other words, that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. He is God, and he took our place on the cross. Paul had been told that he was going to be jailed and in bonds or in chains if he went back to Jerusalem. But he went back regardless because he had a divine destiny that God had set before him. After Paul had given his report, he was told by Pastor James that he should take these four other men with him, they were believers from the church, and go to the temple, because Paul had returned also to celebrate the feast of Pentecost. And they were to be ceremonial clean, which meant to have their head shaved, and then wait a period of 7 days. And the pastor said, Paul, you pay for them for this process. And so when they were back to the temple, after they had gone through this cleansing, then some people from Asia, Jews, pointed out that Paul was the one who had been causing all these problems. And so what happened was a riot gets going, and Paul ends up being arrested by the Romans. The soldiers at the garrison came to put down the riot and saw that Paul was in the middle of this. It looked like they were actually protecting him, and to some extent they were. They didn't know what was really going on. So Paul is taken on the shoulders of the soldiers to protect him from the crowd back to the garrison where the soldiers were staying. And the commander wanted to know what was going on. Well, Paul asked if he could give a talk to explain things to the crowd that had followed them back to the garrison. So he goes on and explains his whole story. It's what he's really doing, giving his testimony, how he's a Pharisee of Pharisees, his whole family were Pharisees. And then on the Damascus Road, how he received Jesus Christ, because he was actually on his way with signed papers that he could catch Christians and bring them back for trial and probably execution. trying to demonstrate to them that he was so strong in believing in Judaism that he was so against the people of the way, which became known later in Antioch as Christians, and then the gospel that he preached, that Christ was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Messiah. And then he got to the end of his message and talked about how the Gentiles were to come into the church. And that's when the crowd said, kill, 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 wanting him done away with. And so the commander brings Paul into the garrison, and that's where we leave him at this point in our message. Now let's take a look at this. Divine destiny. Paul had known for a long time that he was going to go to Jerusalem, that God had called him there, the Holy Spirit had led him there, and then he was going to be jailed and put into chains. Even somebody with the gift of prophecy had been sent to him along the way. And that's when he was tied up with his own belt. And then the person said, now, this is what's going to happen to the owner of this belt. Well, of course, Paul knew it was his belt. And the people pleaded with him, his fellow brothers in Christ, saying, don't go, because this is going to happen to you. They believed it would happen. And they must have believed that somehow God was not in this, because why would God allow somebody like Paul, who had been so dedicated to Jesus Christ, to be thrown in jail and chained? This is where we get the title of our message, Divine Destiny. Let's look at the word destiny. It's like a journey. We are all on a journey in our life, a journey whether we like it or not. And some things that happen along this journey is because of our own doing. We've made poor choices. We have sinned. But yet, by the grace and mercy of God, he brings us back on track. At least he keeps trying to bring us back on track. And of course, the first thing he wants to do is bring us to himself through Jesus Christ. So in other words, salvation. And so what we're talking about here now in this message, people who are already saved, because Paul certainly was saved as he was on this divine destiny and divine means of God. Yet God is behind it. And let's draw a parallel here between Paul and Jesus. Jesus was on a divine destiny as well. He was on a journey. He knew what his goal was, that the Father had sent him for a particular purpose. It wasn't just to heal people. No, it was to go to the cross and fulfill the plan for salvation, that he became the one and only sacrifice, then and forever. And yet many things happened along the way, that he was going to be tempted by the devil 3 times in the wilderness. The devil had one plan in mind. God has another plan in mind. And that's the neat thing about the divine destiny, is we have to begin to look at things as God looks at them. And as we would look at so many things, we would say, why, God, do you allow these things to happen? We need to go to Romans 11:33. God says, how unsearchable are his ways. It means you can search and search and search to trying to find out the way of God. But many things in life, we aren't going to know why exactly at that time that God allows that to happen. And then he says, how unfathomable are his judgments. God does judge. He does make decisions. He discerns and has decided how things should be. God says before the foundations of the world, before creation, he knew us. He had a plan for salvation. He knew that Adam and Eve were going to fail in the garden. And you might say, well, why didn't God prevent all these things from happening? See, God has a lot in store for us that we haven't even thought about. We are so entrenched into this life, in this world, that we can't think beyond this. God says that the foolishness of man would be the cross. To those that are perishing, the cross is foolishness. Why would somebody who is God, if he really were God, why would he come and allow people to abuse him like that and go to the cross and die? To mortal man, that does seem like foolishness. But it is wisdom to God. And once we are saved, through the Holy Spirit illuminating things, we should be able to understand some of the things of God. What are some of his divine purposes? To bring glory and honor to himself, to bring all mankind and nature back into restoration and perfect harmony with him, as it was in the garden before the fall. In other words, before sin entered into the world. And to once and all put away evil, Satan, his demons, the fallen angels, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and other people who deny Jesus Christ. Because that's the only sin, the sin of unbelief, that Jesus Christ is who he said he was and who he says he is today, that he is God, Christ, Jesus, the Savior of his people, that he came into the world and became flesh to dwell among us, to reveal God to man, and to take our place on the cross. In other words, to die in our place, to justify us with God, because otherwise we have to be justified in our own works and our own ways, and that will lead to hell. We send ourselves to hell, in other words, by denying Jesus Christ. So think about it, with Paul now being a Christian, but still being Jewish. I think there's an important message here that so many people overlook. The church was first by the Jews and for the Jews, and then God says, I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to graft you in and adopt you into the line of Abraham, spiritually speaking, through Jesus Christ. And so what do? We deny everything about Judaism, all the cultures about them. That is really, really tragic, and that's what's happened in the history of the mainline church, is that Jews have been put down. In many cases throughout history, it's the church that has been trying to get rid of Jews. Martin Luther was anti-Jewish. That's hard for some people to believe. And the papacy during World War II also was anti-Jewish and helped the Nazis escape at the end of the war. These are facts. I'm not preaching against any particular person. I'm just telling you the truth of history. We need to be on the side of God. To think that Paul and these guys would go down and have their head shaved to be purified to go to the temple. Well, why would they be doing that? Well, the feast of Pentecost is something we can even celebrate today because that was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. All seven of the Jewish feasts will be fulfilled by Jesus Christ. He's already fulfilled the first four. First three come together in that first week we know as Passover. Then the first feast within the Passover season is Passover, then it's unleavened bread, and then it's first fruits. Jesus is our Passover lamb. It's all a picture, symbolic now, of very spiritual meaning. He's the unleavened bread. He's the man, but without sin, the bread of life. He became sin, became leavened, yes. And then first fruits, he was the first to rise from the dead. And you're going to either be a second or third fruit, depending on whether you physically die prior to the rapture or not. And Pentecost, when Jesus ascended, he said, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And they waited 10 days. They didn't know how long it was going to be. And right on the day of the Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. It says like tongues of fire, and that's where people get all these tongue messages from. But he spoke in languages that people there could understand the gospel and receive Jesus Christ and go back to their area wherever they live, and to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So for Jewish people who become Christian, called Messianic Jews, they have a hard time in the basic churches because much of their culture is denied. Well, let's put it this way. I've already mentioned the verse about bond and free and male and female, but stop to think about your cultural background. If you came from a German background or a Scandinavian background, an English background, a Spanish background, or even an Arabic background. Are you supposed to just throw out all the food? See, the real issue is there anything in there that is false according to the gospel? That's the first thing you have to ask yourself. If we're celebrating these various customs, part of the culture that we had before we became Christians, does that substituting for Christ on the cross, does that have something to do with our relationship with God? Well, if it does, then of course it's wrong because you put your emphasis on that. You made an idol out of it. Certainly that would be wrong. And there are certain things that as you became a Christian that you feel could get in the way, and for some reason you don't want to do that, but the Bible doesn't preach against it, then it's not wrong for you to say, no, I don't want to do that. There are many people I know who were Jewish or Muslim, and eating a pork is against their beliefs, that they have been trained this way. So if a Muslim became a Christian and they decided they didn't want to be eating pork, and realized it had nothing to do with their relationship with God through Christ, that they weren't coming to Christ based on whether they did this or didn't do that, but they understood the gospel and received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's the issue. But see, in time, you know, what would happen? We saw that the same thing. Peter had that problem. He had that vision of the sheet coming down with all these various animals on it, and God said, kill and eat. God's going to show them through the leading of the Holy Spirit if it becomes a bondage to them and that they have that freedom to eat of that pork. But if they believe they're really honoring God and it's not based on their salvation and things like that, we should not be criticizing them. And I think that's the heart of this message of seeing Paul going into the temple with a shaved head and the purification. His respect and honor to God, not to the Jewish leaders and to Judaism per se. But remember that the roots of Christianity are in Judaism. And the fruit of Judaism is in Christianity. They're not two separate religions. And I don't even like to call it a religion. I like to call it a person. Our faith is in a person, not in a series of doctrines. Although there are important doctrines in the scripture, certainly, once we're saved, to live that Christian life. But think in terms of Jesus' destiny now. He came to go to the cross, that's for sure. But he also came for other reasons as well. And that's to reveal God to man, that personal relationship. And he had to have that, or he couldn't take our place at the cross if he was just spirit. So we have a wonderful presentation of God that people could touch and have fellowship with and have meals with. But Jesus also was not just finished. The plan of salvation was, but the full restoration was yet to come. He was going to have a second coming. There was going to be a rapture. There was going to be a millennial, thousand-year reign of Jesus and us being with him. And then there was going to be the new heaven and earth. That's all yet to come. That's all part of the divine destiny. We're all on a journey. And let's stop to think now of where we are in this journey. And if there are things that are in our life and situations we're in that we don't like, you have to ask yourself the question, am I a true believer? If you are a true believer, then am I sinning? Is it a matter of a sin issue that has caused things that I don't like? Or is it my divine destiny? Divine. Is God really in it? He's even in it when we go astray, but is this God's plan for my life? Or is it just chance? Is it just like flipping a coin and say, well, I guess I'll do this or I'll guess I do that? That we are guided into certain situations by circumstances beyond our control, but God orchestrates things. And he orchestrates many things simultaneously. And you say, well, God, you're too late or you're too early. It's because he's working other things out so we can be at the right place at the right time and meet the right people according to God, not according to our personal choice. Let's go back and look at the very, very beginning according to the scriptures in Genesis chapter 1, which tells us about creation. Was it a matter of chance or was it divine? Divine destiny, that God had a plan, or is it just left up to chance? We call it evolution. If you believe in evolution, then you have to believe in chance. If you really study evolution, you have to come to the conclusion that it takes more faith, greater faith, to believe in evolution, which is not a science, not facts, it's a theory. Evolution is nothing but a theory. Even secular scientific information and investigation will show that creation is more profitable than evolution. And this is where a lot of people go wrong. They rule out the Old Testament, and especially Genesis, the book of beginnings. That will explain why we need a Savior. Because in chapter 3, we see how sin entered the world. Certainly we don't know the origin of sin from Genesis, but we do know that Satan was in this tree called the knowledge of good and evil, most likely the demons there, confined to this area. That was their kingdom. All the rest was that of God, and then what he had given over to Adam to have dominion over the earth.
You have to go to Isaiah to find out the origin of sin, of Lucifer rebelling in heaven, and we know him as Satan, sometimes referred to as the angel of light. So right from the very beginning, we see in God's word that it's a divine destiny, that it's a journey that begins, and it doesn't take very long before man messes it up. But God still had it in control, under control, with his plan for salvation before the foundations of the earth. So it's always been God superintending. It's always been divine, God, of God, that's what divine is. And it persists to this very day as we begin to see more and more of the scriptures unfolding and prophecies being fulfilled right before our very eyes. How many of us are really awake? How many of us have our eyes on Jerusalem and Israel to see what God is doing? Certainly we see what the enemy is doing. But more and more people who profess to be Christians are buying the big lie of Satan. And it is that God is through with the nation of Israel. If he is through with the nation of Israel, he is through with me, and he's through with the church. Unconditional covenants, everlasting covenants are just what they say. Fortunately, it's not based on man. It's based on God's faithfulness, not my faithfulness or your faithfulness. All that is of him. It's divine. It's a journey. And unfortunately, that journey gets stained with sin. But once we're under grace, there's confession and repentance. And it can keep us on that journey that God has for us. It's his grace and his mercy that enable us to recover after we have taken a stumbling or a falling. But the important point is, do we want to wallow in that stumbling and falling? Do we want to make excuses and say, well, God's really not that involved. It's just a mere chance. I was lucky this time. I didn't have to suffer from any of my sins. Well, remember, sins are like seeds. They don't always come up and get harvested the very next day, sometimes or years later. Even the righteous seeds take a while to produce fruit. The important thing is that God is still in charge. And so if you're not going to have a foundation based on creation, then you're going to be off from the very beginning and you're going to try to build on a faulty foundation. That is the foundation of Scripture, is creation. The six-day creation. It should change our whole way of thinking when we start looking at it through the eyes of God. Certainly knowing his word, the scriptures, makes a big difference, and that's extremely important because he's not going to go against his word, but there are times we really don't know what direction to go. Then a good advice would be to wait, to pray, and to seek, and to knock. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask by praying. Seek means to step out in the direction you believe should be right. And then knocking, being persistent. Because many times there are barriers there that have been put there by the enemy. And God has used that because he's trying to slow you down so other things are in line. Because, see, he wants the best, not the second or third. We're sometimes willing to settle for the fourth, or the 10th, or the 100th best, just to get through a situation and get out of being uncomfortable. Well, I'll tell you, part of the Christian life is going to be uncomfortable. But I'd rather be uncomfortable in Christ than comfortable in the world, because then it's a false thing, and I have false security. It's like I'm standing on the edge of quicksand and don't even realize it, or I'm standing at the edge of a cliff and don't realize it. So for the Christian, there is no such thing as chance. That it's a probability. It's 1 in 5, it's 1 in 10, or whatever it is. And so the percentages are going my way, so I'm going to take a chance. See, with God, we don't have to take a chance. And I think so many people are taking a chance and don't even realize it because they have not accepted the true God of the Bible. They have not heard the right messages, or they have not studied the scriptures, or they want it their way. And so they don't care what God has to say, because they believe in a God that is so loving, it really doesn't matter what I believe or what I think, and he wants me to have this comfortable life where everything goes very smoothly. Well, it certainly didn't go smoothly the world's way for Paul. He would have what we would call a very, very horrible and miserable life. And yet he said over and over again, I've learned to be content in all things, whether being stoned, whether being shipwrecked, whether being beaten, or having a lot, or having a little, or having nothing. Content in Christ. Because then he's above the earthly situation. You see, we don't want to live our Christian life based on our feelings and our experiences. The feelings that come off these experiences. We need to look at our divine destiny. And all of us have a similar divine destiny, but the path, not the way to salvation now, but the directions through our life of the people we meet, that some people meet and some don't meet, circumstances that come along with some people and not in others, the journeys can be very, very different. And yet God can have the same purpose, because he wants us to come to Christ. Once we come to Christ, he wants us to be conformed to the image of Christ, and then he wants us to share Christ with others that he puts into our life. And the Holy Spirit will prompt you with situations so that you can share Christ. You don't have to push it on somebody. They'll ask questions. You need to have your eyes and your ears spiritually open so that you can be in tune to the leading of God. Otherwise, we're not going to know the divine destiny. We're not going to know the steps along the way. Because God leads with that beautiful verse that talks about a lamp at our feet. Now think about this lamp. And why is it at our feet? It's one of these lamps that has a reflector in the back, so it only shines forward very strongly. And that lamp is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. At our feet, what? Because we're to walk by faith, not by sight. And so we're moving in a direction, and that light may turn to the right or to the left, and we are to turn with it. And the more in tune we are with the leading of the Holy Spirit, the sooner we're going to make the turn as he turns. Faith is involved, certainly. God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, and maybe it'll take us a while before we notice that the turn is taking place. God's not going to chastise us there. He's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, wait a minute, are you awake here? I'm making a turn here. Don't get all upset because things aren't going the way you thought they should be. And the destroy, the joy of your salvation, the joy in the Christian life, because that's what the enemy wants to do. So what is it going to be? Just a matter of chance, or trying to get God into my plan because I know better than God and I think God should work it out this way and should work it out this way. And so now I'm all upset because it's not working out. We can get so mixed up in our Christian walk because we're trying to figure out all these things that are going on, trying to analyze them, trying to figure out whether or not it's God, whether it's Satan, whether it's my flesh, whether it's my wrong desires, or whatever it be. No, you don't have to do that. You just go right back to the basics and your relationship with God through Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. If there is sin that you've been involved in, yes, you need confession and repent of it and get healed from that and get restored from that, certainly. Because Satan's going to pour guilt upon you. When you sin, you open windows in your soul and major sins become doors and Satan comes in and beats up on you and says, you're not very good. Are you sure you're saved? Well, God can't use you. Look at the mess you made out of things and look how people look at your sin. Don't worry about what they think. What does God think? And where is God moving? Divine destiny. God is not going to give up. He's not going to be overpowered by the enemy or by you as well. He's going to keep working. It just depends on how we cooperate with God, whether or not we're going to enjoy the trip or not. Now, there are times the road gets pretty rocky, and there are times we get off, and certainly that can happen.
But overall, are we going to focus back on what is God doing in the situation that's happening in my life that I don't particularly like? Because divine with God and destiny, it's the end that's important. Paul said, I want to finish the race. It's like he's in a race because time is growing short and he has all these things that he wants to accomplish in sharing Christ with people. We've only been given so much time in our life. We don't want to spend it. We want to invest it because that's what the destiny is all about. And even for those in Christ, it's just not a matter of going to heaven and being with God for eternity, by the way, which is going to be back on the restored earth. But it's going to be more blessed because of the beam of judgment for that journey that we're on. Are we taking advantage of the opportunities that God divinely sets in front of us? Or do we slap the hand of God because I don't like this? I don't want to witness to that person. I don't want to give this presentation. I don't want to live this way. I want to go here and do this. I don't want to do that. Well, we're just missing opportunities for God to bless us. Because when we bless others, God blesses us. That should not be our motive now. Blessed more to give than to receive, because I want to receive, so therefore I'm going to try to bless a lot of people. No, that's not it, because he judges our heart, our motive. We don't always know our own motive. So what is it going to be? A matter of chance? You just leave everything up to chance, and that means when you're involved in trying to manipulate everything? Or are we going to be in tune to the leading of the Holy Spirit and allow God to fulfill that divine destiny in each of our lives? Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you and glorify you and give thanks over and over again that you do have a divine plan and each and every life, that you care about each and every one, especially those who have come to you, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we are brothers and sisters of Christ, and we are children of you, Father. And you're not going to forsake us, and you're going to continue. Even though we wander at times we want to have our own way, times we get frustrated and discouraged and even get into despair, but you still love us through that. You are the good shepherd and bring us through those valleys that appear to be the shadow of death. And yet you bring it out of that into the beautiful light. And sometimes we can look back and see what you have done. But we certainly can see the outcome, Lord. And we just thank you for that. Thank you for everyone who is here, that whatever they came with, a need that they have, that you can fulfill because it's within your desires and your plan, Father. I pray that they receive it right now. And if they are confused about this destiny, Father, that they study your word, that they pray and seek you, and that you will reveal it to them. Again, thank you over and over again for your faithfulness, even when we're not, and we stumble and we fall at times. But you pick us up, Father, because of your infinite love. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.